August 7, 1971. Copy being prepared by the Tama Yukon Historical Society, Fairbanks, Alaska. Our guest is Phil Ward, a pioneer and early day professional trapper on the Porcupine River, arriving in the Fort Yukon area approximately 1910. He's lived at Fort Yukon continuously since that time without going outside. Now Joe Ward is 88 years of age and appears to be in excellent health. He can read fine print without glasses. The only problem appears to be hearing.
In Blackburn, Lancashire, England. I stayed there till I was 20 years of age, and would continue staying there, but I got a job in Manchester. I was in the guardian business, and it was advertised, and I got a job in Manchester, and my job is gardening, nothing else. I have all family. So that's how I got to Manchester. That is not Manchester itself, but a suburb.
Yeah.
And that's where I got a job in Manchester. I was there, I was there long enough. And at them places, I don't know if it's going on, you've got to have, at my job, you've got to have characters. Mm-hmm. I'd like to show you some too. Mm-hmm. You've got what we call characters. Why, I don't know, it's a poor paid job, but if you work at a place and you want another job, you've got to have characters. I've got to show you a few of them there.
Yeah.
From each place, you've got to have a character. You apply to a job, it's a gentleman's place, and there you've got to show your character.
Yeah.
We call them characters, testimonials.
Yeah.
So I had testimonials and I got a job in Manchester. That's how I got to Manchester.
And this is where you met your friend who brought you to the States? At Manchester is where you met this friend of yours, and you two came
to the States. From Manchester, I come to United States. You want to know how I come there?
Yes.
Well, I had a friend, Jack Wellington. Jack's up there. I had a good friend in it was a suburb, Eccles. Eccles, which you take the car, it costs about 4 cents to rent to Manchester, it's a little village.
Yeah.
And this friend I had, Jack Wellington, had a good friend of his, and Jack one day said, I'm going to go for the stage. Jack was a good, ambitious man, and he was a carpenter, a first class, he could rent, he couldn't even have a business. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but what are you going to do? But I want you to go with me. Well, I didn't have a 5 cent piece. So I said, all right, I've nothing to lose. So I just come to the United States. We come to Council Bluffs. I think Jack had a friend there or something who made us come to that particular place. And Jack, of course, a carpenter, he'd get a job any place. He went from Omaha to Council Bluffs, from Council Bluffs to Omaha.
Yeah.
We lived together in a boarding house. And then I just got there and look up there and there's a lot of houses, greenhouses,
yeah.
And that's my business. I went up there and got a job the first day too.
Yeah.
So Jack's working and I'm working. So that just nothing.
Do you remember what year that was?
No.
How long did you...
I think somebody said 1910.
Oh. I think that's when you got to Fort Yukon, wasn't it?
1910. Oh, wait a minute. Fort Yukon. Let me think about it. What made me come to Fort Yukon?
Well, how long were you in Council Bluffs?
With where?
In Council Bluffs.
Well, let me think a minute. Oh, I couldn't tell you eliminate from council bluffs and hold the reserve just on the summer. Because my brother, he was in, he went to Canada. My oldest brother, George, was went to Canada. He was in Canada, and I was in the United States. And we correspond, and George come to where I was living in Council Bluff. And we both were used to the woods in England, so we saw an advertisement in the California, in the lumber camps. So we just went to California and started in the lumber camps there. George was he was a chopper. Mm-hmm. He could cook, you know. And I hired out just as a laborer. But that's why both of us come together to California, to the lumber camps.
Mm-hmm. That was near Eureka. Near Eureka, California.
What year?
Near Eureka.
Wait a minute, Eureka, that was the... That was the central.
Yeah.
You get to Eureka, you go from there, you hire out from Eureka to the lumber camps.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yes, that's the central.
Mm-hmm. Then you went to Dawson or came to Fort Yukon?
We come to Dawson. By gosh, I think we, what in hell we start? We started over that to Skagway. And we started to walk over the trail there from Skagway to Dawson. And the funny thing about it, we're meeting people walking by the way.
Yeah.
Why we should keep coming, I don't know. And then we got to
Bennett?
Dawson?
White Horse.
No, White Horse, we walk from there across the trail.
Yeah.
It's about 150 miles or something.
Well, you went from Skagway, I think.
From Skagway,
yeah.
Well, right in there.
To White Horse.
Yeah.
White Horse, I imagine.
White Horse, that's right, because you've got to get a boat there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We could walk, that's why we walk over the trail there.
Yeah.
I remember when I shut it out there, I had one loaf of bread.
Yeah.
That was my... It's quite a trip too. What was it, 110 miles, I think. Anyway, we got to White Horse, and I think there's... I don't know who I was with. Scotty Clark, I think. And the funny thing, Scotty, a nice big young Scotsman, and he wasn't a walker, because halfway over there, the pass, he played out, and we had to wait there and take a train.
Oh yeah.
He took the train, and then we got to White Horse. He was Scotty waiting
yeah.
for us, pushing on the rapids there.
Yeah.
Scotty was a fine boy, but he just couldn't walk. So then we got in together with some of these other boys there, and we got friends with them, and two more boys, Chip and Fred, a German. We just got mixed up, and we decided we'd come together and go up the Porcupine Trapper, prospecting. So we got a boat, you buy a boat right in Walsh. That was the only business there, was making boats.
Yeah.
Little square-ass boat, you know. So we, four of us, got in that boat, this boat. Come down here, and went up the Porcupine to where we are finally now. Four of us. And we hadn't the least idea about boating business.
Yeah.
And that was a real job going home with that boat. Four of us. A German, Scotchman, I didn't know with Chips. I forget anyway now, and myself, it was four different nationalities. And lived together for the winter. We was going out prospecting, but the we were going up to the hills, but we got to what we call Schumann House, and the Herberts was there, and they said, well, we're going to get frozen, which we did about the next day, the ice was running.
Yeah.
So we just moved up to Schumann House here, moved up to the first timber and built a cabin there, and that's where we are today.
Yeah.
That's where we've been ever since. That's where my son traps now. And that's the luckiest thing we could ever be. They're the nicest people in the world, and we wouldn't know a trap if we saw one. We didn't know nothing. And if we'd have gone prospecting, we knew less. We didn't know about that. And we didn't know a thing about trapping. And we just come to, we just went to the first timber of Wolfshuman House and built a cabin, and that's where we are today. And the Herberts, old Joe and his wife and young Sam at that time, is, I see his son was here, but the son's not very good. Anyway, they was nice people. And anything we ever knew about trapping or hunting, they showed us. If we wanted to know anything, run down to the Herberts. Our cabin was about 2 miles up above there. And it's today. And the Herberts is old lady in Fort Yukon now. We'd just as like to see her better than anybody in the world. Such a good friend. We was lucky. If we hadn't have got there against Nipper, I don't know what we would do. We had no idea about trapping and no idea about nothing. We was going prospecting. So we got there, and I would go out with Joe hunting, and Joe, they showed us everything we ever knew about from the Herberts.
Were they natives?
Oh yes, positively.
Yeah.
Old Bell, that's the old lady, she's up in Tishook now. She's quite elderly, older than myself.
Yeah.
And the children are around, but Sam, he died not long ago. Sam was a boy, 10 years of age, with his mother and father at Schumann House, the only people, and that's where he moved, and always at Schumann House, I went hunting with him and just everything. Whatever we knew about anything, we learned from the Herberts. And for many years, I'd go out with Joe, every in the fall, we'd go out hunting. He did the hunting, I'd just go along and help. And he'd always kill something and always give me my share of more.
Yeah.
The finest people in the world. I would say we was lucky to live near books like that. And I watched him show me out of whatever trapping I knew, I've got to learn from them.
How long did they live there while you were there?
Hmm?
How long did they, were they your neighbors? All the time?
Oh, let's say 50 years.
50, yeah.
Yeah, as long as we was there, the Herberts was there.
I see.
Yeah. The old lady's down here in Tishook now.
Mm-hmm.
The old man died, of course, quite a long time ago. And his son, he died too. He's got drinking hours and living at Tishook. And the old Bell lives at Tishook now. There's a trail from Tishook, you call Tishook in one shell piece, there's a trail from there to Schumann House and to Salmon River, to Chandelier. There must be an old time trail from Tishook on that river, right to Schumann House, and from Schumann House, I know I use the Chandelier trail, we call it, to track it, right over to where the Salmon River, and from there there's a trail right over to Chandelier. There's a trail from Fishhook to Chandelier, of course across the river, two rivers, the Porcupine and the Salmon River. One time I've been with Salmon River, there's a village, there's a way up there, and my trap line comes to the Salmon River, and I went across there, some old villages, and I took a door from there, with nobody living there, and put on an old cabin on this side, made it my home. About that same night, a man come over to the village and come to the door. He was a chief, or a Christian, was that man chief?
Was he Chief Christian?
That's the Chief Christian, you know more about him than I do. Chief Christian,
yeah.
come to the door.
Yeah.
And there was two or three cabins across there, and I turned this door across there.
Yeah.
I don't know where this cabin is, as I was using. I don't know anywhere there was an oath. I mean, I even got this there, and two Christians come over, and it was all right. He gave me some meat, and we used to take green fish cooked up, you know. I gave the chief Christian some fish, and he gave me some meat. We're good friends there. I guess them chief Christians, there's no more of them now. Yeah, that was 60 miles from my home.
North.
They use it for trap line. Used to have a cab first cabin, second cabin, third cabin, then 25 miles over to Salmon River. We used that for trap line. I got to Salmon River one time, and I was going to camp there and tramp up salmon up the river. There's nobody there too. And I went up the river the first day. I went up the river, and I didn't see a damn thing, only just another fox cried.
August 7, 1971. I've been being prepared by the Tano Yukon Historical Society, Fairbanks, Alaska. Our guest is Thurl Ward, a pioneer and early day professional trapper on the Porcupine River, arriving in the Fort Yukon area approximately 1910. He's lived at Fort Yukon continuously since that time without going outside. Joe Ward is 87 or 88 years of age and appears to be in excellent health. He can read fine print without glasses. Only problem appears to be hearing.
In Blackburn, Lancashire, England. I stayed there till I was 20 years of age, and would continue staying there, but I got a job in Manchester. I was in the garden business, and it was advertised, and I got a job in Manchester, and my job is gardening, nothing else. I was all family. So that's how I got to Manchester. That is not Manchester itself, but a suburb.
Yeah.
And that's where I got a job in Manchester. I was there, long enough. And at them places, I don't know if it's going on, you've got to have, at my job, you've got to have characters. Mm-hmm. I'd like to show you some too. Mm-hmm. You've got what we call characters. Why, I don't know, it's a poor paid job, but if you work at a place and you want another job, you've got to have characters. I'll show you three of them there. From each place, you've got to have a character. You apply to a job, it's a gentleman's place, and there you've got to show your character. Yeah. We call them characters, testimonials.
Yeah.
So I had testimonials, and I got a job in Manchester. That's how I got to Manchester.
And this is where you met your friend who brought you to the States? At Manchester is where you met this friend of yours, and you two came to the States?
Yeah, from Manchester, I come to the United States. You want to know how I come there?
Yes.
Well, I had a friend, Jack Waddingham. Jack's up there. I had a good friend in it was a suburb, Eccles. Eccles. Yes. You take the car, it costs about 4 cents to went to Manchester. It's a little village. Yes. And this friend I had, Jack Waddingham, I had a good friend of his, and Jack one day said, I'm going to go to the States. Jack was a good, ambitious man, and he was a carpenter, a first class, he could rent, he'd come here and had a business. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but what are you going to do? But I want you to go in there. Well, I didn't have a 5 cent piece. So I said, all right, I've got nothing to lose. So I just come to the United States. We come to Council Bluffs. I think Jack had a friend there or something who made us come to that particular place. And Jack course, a carpenter, he'd get a job any place. He went to Omaha to Council Bluffs. To Omaha. Yeah. We lived together in a boarding house. And then I just got there and look up there, and there's a lot of houses, greenhouses, yeah. And that's my business. I went up there and got a job the first day, too.
Yeah.
So, Dad's working and I'm working. So that was just lucky.
Do you remember what year that was?
No.
How long did you...
I think somebody said 1910.
No. I think that's when you got to Fort Yukon, wasn't it?
1910. Oh, wait a minute, Fort Yukon. Right. Let me think about it. What made me come to Fort Yukon?
Well, how long were you in Council Bluffs?
With where?
In Council Bluffs.
Well, let me think a minute. Oh, I couldn't tell you that either. Wait a minute. From Council Bluffs, and the hell, we was there just only this summer. Because my brother, he went to Canada. My oldest brother, George, went to Canada. He was in Canada, and I was in the United States. And we corresponded, and George come to where I was living in Council Bluffs. And we both been used to the woods in England, so we saw an advertisement in the California, in the lumber camps. So we just went to California and started in the lumber camps there. George was hired out as a chopper. Mm-hmm. He could cook, you know. And I hired out just as a laborer. But that's why both of us come together to California, to the lumber camps.
That was near Eureka. Near Eureka, California.
What year?
Near Eureka.
Wait a minute, Eureka, that was the central.
Yeah.
You get to Eureka, you go from there, you hire out from Eureka to the lumber camps. Yes, that's the central.
Then you went to Dawson or came to Fort Yukon?
We started over that to Skagway, and we started to walk over the trail there from Skagway to Dawson. And the funny thing about it, we're meeting people walking back again.
Yeah.
Why we should keep coming, I don't know. And when we got to
Bennett?
Dawson?
Yeah. Whitehorse.
No, Whitehorse, we walked from there across the trail.
Yeah.
It's about 150 miles or something.
Well, you went from Skagway, I think.
From Skagway,
yeah.
Walked right in there.
To Whitehorse.
Yeah.
Whitehorse, I imagine.
Oh, that's right, because you've got to get a boat there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why we walk over the trail there.
Yeah.
I remember when I started out there, I had one loaf of bread.
Yeah.
That was my... It's quite a trip, too. What was it, 110 miles, I think. Anyway, we get to Whitehorse, and I think there's... I don't know who I was with. Scotty Clark, I think. And the funny thing, Scotty, a nice big young Scotsman, and he wasn't a walker, because halfway over the pass, he played out, and he had to wait there and take a train.
Oh, yeah.
He took the train, and when we got to Whitehorse, here Scotty waiting for us, fishing on the rapids there.
Yeah.
Scotty was a fine boy, but he just couldn't walk. So then we got in together with some of these little boys there, and we got friends with them, and two more boys, Chip and Fred, a German, we just got mixed up, and we decided we'd come together and go up the Porcupine Trapping, prospecting. So we got a boat, you buy a boat right in Wars. That was the only business there, we were making boats.
Yeah.
Little square-ass boat, you know. So we four of us got in that boat, this boat, come down here and went up the port of Pine to where we are finally now, four of us. And we hadn't the least idea about boating business, yeah. And that was a real job going home with that boat. Four of us, a German, Scotchman, I forget anyway now, and myself, there was four different nationalities, and lived together for the winter. We was going out prospecting, but we was going up to the hills, but we got to what we call Schumann House, and the Herberts was there, and they said, well, we're going to get frozen, which we did. About the next day, ice was running. So we just moved up to Schumann House here, moved up to the first timber and built a cabin there, and that's where we are today. That's where we've been ever since. That's where my son tramps now. And that's the luckiest thing we could ever be. They were the nicest people in the world, and we wouldn't know a trapper if we saw one. We didn't know nothing. And if we'd have gone prospecting, we knew less. We didn't know about that. And didn't know a thing about trapping. And we just come to, we just went to the first timber above Schumann House and built a cabin, and that's where we are today. And the Herberts, old Joe and his wife and young Sam at that time, I see his son was here, but the son's not very good. Anyway, they were nice people. And anything we ever knew about trapping or hunting, they showed us. If we wanted to know anything, run down to the Herberts. Our cabin was about 2 miles up above there. And it's today. And the Herberts, this old lady in Fort Yukon now, we'd have just as liked to see her better than anybody in the world. Such a good friend. We was lucky. If we hadn't have got there against Nibra, I don't know what we would do. We had no idea about trapping and no idea about nothing. We was going prospecting. So we got there, and I would go out with Joe hunting, and Joe, they showed us everything we ever knew about from the Herberts.
Were they natives?
Oh yes, positively.
Yeah.
Old Bell, that's the old lady, she's up in Fishhook now, she's quite elderly, older than myself. Yeah. And the children are around, but Sam, the died not long ago, that Sam was a boy 10 years of age with his mother and father at Schumann House, the only people, and that's we moved, and always at Schumann House, went hunting with them and just everything. Whatever we knew about anything, we learned from the Herberts. And for many years, I'd go out with Joe, and we'd, in the fall, we'd go out hunting. He did the hunting, I'd just go along and help. And he'd always kill something and always give me my share or more. The finest people in the world. I always thought we was lucky to live neighbors like that. And I watched him show me how to whatever trapping I knew, I've got to learn from them.
How long did they live there while you were there? Hmm? How long did they, were they your neighbors all the time?
Oh, let's say 50 years.
50 years.
Yeah, as long as we was there, the Herberts was there.
I see.
Yeah. The old lady's down here in Fishhook now. Mm-hmm. The old man died, of course, quite a long time ago. And his son, he died too. He got drinking and was living at Fishhook. And old Bell lives at Fishhook now. There's a church at Fishhook. You call Fishhook the North Shelf, he said. There's a trail from there to Schumann House and to Salmon River, to Chandelier. There must be an old time trail from the Fishhook on that river, right to Schumann House, and from Schumann House, I know I use the Chandelier trail, we call it, to track it, right over to Salmon River, and from there there's a trail right over to Chandelier. There's a trail from Fishhook to Chandelier. Just across the river, two rivers, the Porcupine and the Salmon River. One time I've been, Salmon River is a village, is a way up there. And I, my trap line comes to the Salmon River. And I went across there, some old villages, and I took a door from there, where nobody living there, and put on an old cabin on this side, made it my home. About that same night, a man come over to the village and come to the door. It's a chief. He was a chief or a
Christian.
Was that man chief?
Was he a chief Christian?
That's the chief Christian. You know more about him than I do. Chief Christian,
yeah.
Come and they come to the door.
Yeah.
And there was two or three cabins across there, and I turned this door across there.
Yeah.
I don't know where to build this cabin, which I was using. I don't know, anyway, there was an old cabin and I had got this door and Chief Christian come over and it was all right. He gave me some meat and we used to take green fish cooked up, you know. I gave Chief Christian some fish and he gave me some meat. Good friends there. I guess then Chief Christian, there is no more of them now. Yeah, that was 60 miles from my home,
north.
They use it for trap line.
Mm-hmm.
It's to have a cab, first cabin, second cabin, third cabin, then 25 miles over to Salmon River. They use that for trap line. I got to Salmon River one time, and I was going to camp there and trap up salmon. Up the river, there's nobody there too. And I went up the river, the first day I went up the river, and I didn't see a damn thing, only just another fox crying. So you sure I was going to camp there. A good cabin to camp in. But it was no further. So I went back and never went back again.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to my third cabin. From there it's 25 miles over, but it was a barren country.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to Salmon River, there was nothing, so I just didn't go there anymore. I made a round trip,
mm-hmm.
I with good trap lines and made round trips without backtracking.
Mm-hmm.
I took it out about 14 days of that.
Mm-hmm.
Every 2 weeks you take a trip. I don't know how to hunt even today. I don't have to hunt, you just take your boat someplace and happen to see them. But I never learned how to hunt, but Joe learned us anything about trapping we never knew.
Well, just
wonderful neighbors, we was lucky.
Did they build boats or how did they get from Whitehorse? You told how you got from Skagway to Whitehorse, Walt, and Ben mentioned taking a boat. Now I asked him if he took if they took a commercial boat, they were river boats those days, or if they built boats. Before them built boats, and then they got to Dawson. Then after they got to Dawson, it's then when they got the four of them came down in that their own boat.
When you left Whitehorse, where did you buy a boat at Whitehorse? Did you come down?
Yeah, that was the only business in Whitehorse, was making boats for people drifting down.
And you bought one there?
Four of us
bought one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, we just get there. I think a young Scotchman was with me,
yeah.
Scotty.
Yeah.
And we got acquainted, there's a number of boys there, got acquainted with some more boys there. So four of us ship in and buy a boat and drift down.
You must have had some adventures going down that. How did you make
it's a wonder we didn't drown.
Yeah.
We was the chief shuckers, and there's a channel coming down there. You keep the right-hand channel, and we didn't know that. And we come down, why we didn't drown, I don't know. Because there's only one channel to come there, the right-hand channel, but we didn't know that. So we come right down, and I remember there was Chips, a Swiss boy, Scotchman, German, and myself. And we was coming down, and you know, Chips is steering, and we were rowing with our back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Chips, you know, he's looking, he could see, he says, there's some rapids ahead here. He says, which way will I go? Oh, we want in hell, we know. He said, well, right through the middle. Right through the middle is where we come. Why we didn't drown, I don't know. The ship was red, the boat. Another little lap in the boat, and I had to jump out and try to swim, which I had shoes on and anything, I'd have drowned sure as hell. But anyway, I was so close to it. Another little, well, we didn't know which to take. We should have taken the right hand, which is quite enough, but we could, as I said, right through the middle, four of us, we should have drowned there sure as hell.
I think that's Five Finger Rapids.
Five Finger Rapids, yeah. Sure. Yeah. You take the right-hand channel, yeah. We took the middle one,
yeah.
And that's a rough one. Oh, the water did flop in the boat. We had to stop it when we got to, and I think some other guys had done the same. When we got through the rapids, we could see some people on the, couple of boys on the bank, I think they'd been in trouble too, drying the clothes, yeah. Because we had to stop and dry everything.
Yeah.
Our things in the boat got wet, so we pulled into the shore and built fires and dried our clothes.
I imagine you stayed at Dawson was your next stop then.
Dawson, yes. We come to Dawson. Scott Hill and the church, they went out to the creeks. He was out there and got a job. I look up off the hillside and there's some greenhouses up there, and that's my business. Gardening, so I went up there and asked for a job, yes. The best money I ever had in my life. $75 a month on board. Yeah. There's a job the first day, and my Scotty went out and they got a job on the creeks. He was working on the creeks there. So they got a job. And we, there were some old cabins in front of Dawson that time. They disused, you know, no windows and doors. And that's where we camped there. The four of us, we just camped this there, and they went out to the creeks. Chicks went down the river to Coal Creek. He was a good carpenter. He got a job down there. Scotty got a job out the creeks, and I went up on the other side and got a job in the garden. So we all got work. Then we all got to, in the fall, I was still working up there, and Chicks and Scotty had come in from the camps and come up to see. They'd like to go out trapping. And they had an idea they'd like to go up the port to find trapping. Would I go with them? Well, of course I would. So that's how four of us went up the Porcupine. German, a Switzer, Scotsman, and myself. Four of us went up there. I don't know who we might have had. We was going prospecting, though. But we had, I don't think we had above a dozen traps, just a few traps. But when we got to Schumann House, well, they said, you're going to get close in, you can't go any further. We was going to go to the hills, prospecting.
I imagine you stopped at Eagle first, didn't you? You left Dawson in your boat and then went to Eagle?
Well, we got to Eagle, and that was the funny thing about that. We didn't know we had to pay duty. Mm-hmm. We didn't like that down there. We didn't have much money, too. We got to Eagle. And I don't know, I just want to see, we didn't know there was anybody collecting duty there. And hell, this man come down and had to collect duty. If we didn't have money, they'd take some of our outfit, I guess. Because we had our outfit on the sea to come around there down. But we took up money and paid whatever it was. I forget what it was.
$3.
Yeah.
$3.
But we didn't know we had duty to pay. And then we was coming down and we the Porcupine, we didn't know. That's a river, that's all we know about it. It's as I say, we're going up there prospecting. But when we get to Schumann House, the Herberts was there, and they said, well, it's going to freeze in any time, which it did about 2 days after ice was running. So we did well to come right. We said, everything has been lucky. Just luck. A good luck, too. If we'd have gone another day, we wouldn't have been at Schumann House. We wouldn't know about tracking, we wouldn't have known about nothing. But, see, I started next day to run, and we stopped there, and the nicest people in the world were the Schumann people. And anything we ever knew, oh, I'd go out with Joe hunting, and they'd show me how to set traps, he showed everything we knew was Joe Herbert. Yeah. His wife and me are good friends, she's a good now. Oh, Joe, that is the nicest creature in the world.
I'm wondering what happened to your buddies.
Wait a minute. Scotty. Yeah. Scotty Clark. Well, I'll tell you about that. That's quite a thing, too. We go out to the creeks, back of Circle, to work. Yeah. You know, there was creeks out there working a long time. We come down here in the spring and go out to the creeks to work. Well, while I'm out there, I made some deal about somebody, that some man I met outside, that he was going down to South America. He knew where the gold was richer than anything. And he was going down to South America, and I was going to go with him. But I'm out on the creeks working, and I'm waiting for a letter from this man to tell me, I come in and go out, and we go down into this low place. And it just, nobody came. Yeah, I didn't get the letter. So Scotty Clark, my partner, has come in, and he went down, he got down to, I forget the name, down the river here, and I was stuck in the Circle with no place to go. I don't get a letter from this man where I was going to go. So a little Frenchman had been working out at the creeks at the same place as me, and he's going prospecting up, spend the winter prospecting up Weber Creek. So Felix said, how about me going with him? I know other place to go. Scotty has already left and gone up to track. So I've no boat, I've no way to get there. So Felix said, how about going with me? He's going on Weber Creek here, prospecting. So I went with him and spent the winter with Felix prospecting. Simply we sank, we built three cabins and sank five or six holes, anywhere from 30 to 70 feet deep, on Weber Creek. That's what we spent that winter doing that. Then in the spring we come down to Circle and go out working again.
Mm-hmm. How did the prospecting turn out on Weber Creek?
How did the prospecting turn out on Weber Creek?
Well, I think Felix, he was a prospector. I think he found a few colors at one of the places, but that's all. I forget how many holes we sunk. We sunk a lot of holes too, and built some cabins up the creek. We built one at the mouth there. Oh, Weber was there then. The man that the place was named after, Old Man Weber. I got along with him good, and he's the sourest looking man that I've ever seen. Cranky, but damn it, Old Weber and me got along good. And we stayed there a day or two, and then went up the creek, built a cabin there, and then went further and built another cabin, and sank a lot of holes there. Felix was a prospector. I would always do things. All we found was a few colors.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it had been prospected before. If there'd been anything there, people would have found it long ago.
What was Felix's last name?
Felix Charton. A little Frenchman that worked with me for Pete Anderson out on the creeks.
Oh, yeah.
A damn nice little fellow that ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
Felix Charton, a Frenchman. The funny thing about that, one time a year, I think we was going over there. What in hell was I going to Dawson for something? I was going over for some reason to Dawson, to Fairbanks, and here Felix is working on the road, you know, out men work on the road,
yeah,
there, and well, wasn't we glad to see one another.
Yeah.
We were working there all winter, never had a harsh word.
Mm-hmm.
Just a swell little fella. I've never seen him since. That's the last time I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He could be living in. Mm-hmm. Frenchman. We both worked on the creek together for Pete Anderson. We have done the creek, you know, all summer.
I'm wondering now if you could tell us about trapping. You're the senior...
Wait, just a minute. Yeah. That's a long time.
Well, that's one reason why we want to get your take on this particular thing, and I believe it would be nice if we've traveled from Dawson, we've traveled to Circle, we've traveled these many places, and you've told us about the wonderful Schumanns who taught you all you needed to know to learn trapping. Now let's take your cabin, how it was set up, your cache, what your dogs, and how you set the trail. And of course, you're telling about making deadfalls here somewhere. You might tell us.
People don't make them anymore. I don't know. We learned how to make them, but it's an old-fashioned thing. 1,000 years ago, they don't make them anymore. About the only thing I'd ever make a deadfall for now, and I don't do it for many years, is for Wolverine. Make a big deadfall for Wolverine. But you don't use the deadfalls anymore. You just use traps. It takes a long time to use it, make a deadfall, and the trap you pick it up and move it. So you don't use them anymore.
Well, how big was your cabin at the at your headquarters site? I'm
Wait a minute. Four of us went together. Yeah. See, Swiss boy, German, Scotch, and myself, and we built a cabin up there, about 16 foot square, and we had a bunk in each corner for each one of us, a dirt floor, and a flat roof, and that was barefoot. Well, there was a big run of lake here one time, and I had a lot of lake, and I was up there by myself this time, and I used it tying my lake up in timing bunches. There was a big run of lake here, and I tie them and use that cabin. And now, after that, I moved the cabin. I have a nice new cabin. I moved this cabin, the other side of my cabin, it was getting too close to the river, raised it about 6 logs and put a nice big span roof on. And that's there today. I used it for a cache. I put shelves in, same as I've got in there, see. Put shelves in and used it for groceries and things, anything I have. You take a winter's outfit.
Now, you had a bunk in each corner, you had a table, and how did you heat the cabin? What kind of a stove did you have? You had a wood stove, but was it a home
cabin? We had the home cabin.
Yeah, the first cabin.
Well, the first cabin, we had what we call a Yukon stove.
Yeah.
We bought it in Dawson.
Yeah.
A round one and a flat
Yeah.
But nowadays, of course, we have a regular, just a regular proper modern stove now. But at that time, we just had a flat, round. But I would cook, we had a drum. And now you make bread and is in that drum.